The Old Testament provides valuable lessons for the Christian. That's what Paul teaches us as he gives a brief history of the children of God as they wandered in the wilderness in 1 Corinthians 10. One such lesson that is of great importance is of making wise choices in our lives. Lot in Genesis 14 made a choice as to where to live. And as a result, he experienced kidnapping and war and the oppression and torment by ungodly people, the citizens of Sodom. Peter writes about that in 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8. In Genesis chapter 19, he lost all of his possessions, the death of his wife, and was guilty of incest with his daughters. David chose to commit adultery with Bathsheba, and as a consequence, he suffered the death of his infant son, 2 Samuel chapter 12. In chapter 13, his daughter was molested by her half-brother, and that son was killed by her vengeful brother, same chapter 13. In 2 Samuel 15 through 18, David had a rebellion led against him by a son who shamed him publicly and whose death brought about even more grief to David. When we consider these two men, David and Lot, showing us the need to make wise choices, we need to consider some things. One, we need to consider how choices have greatly affected our lives and will affect our lives. Suggestions for making wise choices and what to do when we've made the wrong choice. So let's begin with our first point. Choices that greatly affect our lives. One of those choices is choosing Jesus. Will you follow Jesus or not? It's a simple question, but it has great consequences. Will you become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or will you refuse to accept his gracious offer of salvation? In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus offers the greatest invitation ever extended. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. It's a simple invitation. If you want peace and tranquility in your life, then come to Jesus and obtain spiritual forgiveness. This one decision will affect your life more than any other decision you make in your life from young adult till you go to the grave. Because that one decision will determine where you spend eternity. And it's going to have a bearing on every other decision that you will make. As a disciple, you will be concerned about doing the will of Jesus. And as a disciple, you will not simply do your own thing. In Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18 through verse 20, we have Matthew's account of the Great Commission. And in that passage, beginning in verse 18, Jesus said that all authority has been given to him in both heaven and on earth. And then he tells his other disciples there to go and make more disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So you no longer can do what you've been doing or what you may want to do. You have to do what Jesus says do. Another choice that greatly affects our lives is choosing a career. Even from a worldly standpoint, that choice is important. The job market is always changing. The wrong choice could lead to financial ruin or physical hardship. And more importantly, that choice can have a lasting effect on your marriage and your family. Also, your service to God. So we need to make the choice to honor God first, and then you will be blessed. In the Sermon on the Mount, about halfway through, Jesus says, in the context of worrying about stuff, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. That's Matthew 6 and verse 33. Making money is the primary factor in most people's decisions, and if that's yours, then you can rest assured that destruction will soon follow, according to what Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10. Another important choice that you'll make is who your mate will be. This choice will determine, to a great extent, your degree of happiness in this life. The proverb writer speaks of this in Proverbs 12 and verse 4. This choice will have a permanent bearing not only on your degree of happiness, but upon your children and their emotional well-being. You might think that you could simply divorce a person if they turn out to be a bad choice. But once you have children, there's no way to reverse the choice that you made as to who is going to be the mother or father of your children. And children, the children are not affected by the violence of divorce. That's a misunderstanding. God says in Malachi 2 and verse 16 that He hates divorce. Another important choice is who you choose to be your friends. Proverbs 17 verse 17 talks about that we need to have close friends that can be a wonderful blessing. In Proverbs 12 and verse 26 and 1 Corinthians 5 and 15 and verse 33, it talks about that the wrong friends can be a curse. Another important choice is choosing where to live. If this choice, it's this choice where Lot made his mistake. It appeared to be a sound business decision for him to choose the Jordan Valley. But it was a poor moral decision because that's where the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were at. Now, upon what basis do we choose the place that we're going to live? Is it based solely upon how much of a house we can afford? Is it based upon the location to our work, the school for our kids, or what? And do we consider whether it will help or hinder our service to God and His church? There are a lot of modern-day Sodoms and Gomorrahs that we need to avoid. Now, for every action, there is a reaction, and for every choice, there is a consequence. Now, to increase the likelihood that our choices will have good consequences, here are some suggestions on making wise choices. Before any decision is made, we need to ask God for wisdom. He promises to give wisdom to those who ask in faith. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. The proverb writer tells us in Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 9, that we need to ask in wisdom, and that requires diligence on our part. So we need to fill our prayers with requests for wisdom in order to make wise choices. But also, another suggestion would be to ask others for advice. There is safety in having many counselors, the proverb writer would tell us in Proverbs 11 and verse 14. And there is wisdom in heeding the counsel of others, Proverbs 12 and verse 15. The two great sources of counsel, though, are the Bible itself, especially a book like Proverbs, and then older, more mature Christians. Do not hesitate to ask others what they would do and how it would apply to your life. A third suggestion for making wise choices is commit your choices to the Lord. The proverb writer again talks about in Proverbs 37, trusting that you have made choices that are pleasing to God. Put them in God's hands. God only wants the best for you, so when we trust God to help us make these choices, we'll be that much better off. And we need to make our choices with the understanding that, as James 4 verses 13 through 15 says, if the Lord wills. One might even ask the Lord that if a choice is not according to His will, He might frustrate the carrying out of that choice, or to the otherwise, show you what His will is. So what we see here in these suggestions is that we need to make God part of our decision-making process. That is, if you wish to make wise choices. Now, there will be times when it becomes apparent that we made a poor choice. Sometimes even the wrong choice. And what can we do to avoid making matters even worse? Well, we need to respond to wrong choices. First, we need to learn from our mistakes and the mistakes of others. We need to do what Lot did. Heed and flee. We need to heed, that is, listen, take into effect the word of God. Do what you now know to be right without reservation. You remember the story of Lot and how his wife died? They were told to flee Sodom and to not look back. And she did, and was turned to a pillar of salt. We need to do what Peter did. When Christ was on trial, Jesus had told him, if you'll remember, that you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. Peter did. He did exactly what Jesus said. And we need to do what Peter did afterwards, repent and serve the Lord. We need to repent if sin is involved in our choices, just like Peter did when he denied Christ. And we need to serve the Lord with what time we have left in this life. And then we need to do what Paul did. Accept Christ and live. Accept the forgiveness that Jesus provides, what he wrote about in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 16. And then determine to live for the Lord to the best of our ability, Philippians 3. Now the wrong thing to do is to continue in that bad choice that we've made. To remain in the choice you've made because of pride or some other reason. And then another wrong thing to do is wallow in that bad choice that we've made. To just feel sorry for ourselves over our guilt or our loss. Now there are a lot of examples of men like David and Lot that teach us the importance of making wise choices. Serving as a warning for us not to make our decisions lightly. Don't rush into your decisions. And we need to always be open to the wisdom from God and the counsel of others as we make such choices about our careers, our spouses, our friends, and where we even live. Now let me ask you, have you made the most important decision you'll ever face in this life? The decision on where you'll spend eternity? The decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If not, why not today follow Jesus? Decide, make that important choice, and decide to follow Jesus and become one of his disciples. That's what we noticed in Matthew 28 earlier, teaching them to become disciples and observe all things that I have taught you. Then in Acts 2, we see the example of those 3,000 souls being added to the Lord's church on the day of Pentecost. It may be that you're here this morning listening to this radio program and you don't agree with what we've said. That's what's been said here. Please follow up with it. Look for me on Facebook, Jeff Curtis in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Look me up on the Eastside Church of Christ Facebook page. You can go to the Church of Christ, the Eastside Church of Christ website, church@eastside.com, and you can message me there. I check it about once a week. Or you can visit with us at Eastside. We'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, followed by worship service at 10 a.m., and then we'll meet again this evening at 6 p.m. for another period of worship service. And we also have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You're always welcome to visit with us. We don't turn anyone away. And you'll be our honored guest if you were to show up and visit. Again, if you have any questions, do not hesitate to ask myself or someone else. Feel free to visit with us at any time. Thank you again.